If your horse doesn't have food in its digestive system the majority of the day, you are looking at other health problems or a risk of developing other health problems, especially things like ulcers. Welcome to this week's episode of Healing Horses with Alicia. This week, I'm continuing the conversation on equine metabolic syndrome. So last week's episode, I started talking about equine metabolic syndrome, mostly because here in North America and many places of the world, we're coming into spring, which usually puts a lot of horse owners on high alert, right? You're watching for those signs of weight gain, crested necks, inflammation of the feet. You're also probably going to be noticing shedding patterns. So with horses that maybe have a PPID diagnosis, maybe not, but maybe they're just getting older and you're starting to notice that they're shedding out a little bit more slowly now. So grass, of course, and the sugar levels play a big role in all of those metabolic conditions, whether it's insulin resistance, PPID, otherwise known as Cushing's syndrome, that's the older name for it, and PSSM too, polysaccharide storage myopathy. I put all three of those conditions in the metabolic category because from a very holistic perspective, we are taking the same approach, right? We have to make sure that our horses are detoxifying properly, that their metabolisms are efficient, that their ability to convert sugars is efficient, whether it's in the muscles, the liver, in all the tissues. And to really tackle that, you have to make sure that we are managing diet, that we're managing lifestyle, that we're making sure that our horses have enough nutrition in their bodies. And that really contributes to successful recoveries. I mean, that's really what we're trying to do here by supporting the body through all of these conditions. So it starts with making sure that we're doing a lot of the right things, but there are still some common practices that I see out there frequently in an attempt to lower sugar levels, get the weight off the horses, reduce inflammation. And some of them are old practices, but some of them are still happening. And it's not because the owners are trying to cause problems for their horse. They're really trying to help, and it makes sense at the time, but I'm going to talk about those mistakes or misconceptions today so that when you're looking for ways to manage your horse's condition or even just prevent. So let's say your horse maybe hasn't had any laminitic episodes for the last few years, but you know it's in their history. And so when you start seeing grass coming up or their lifestyle start changing a little bit that increase the risk factors, then you know you got to really get on top of it so that doesn't happen again. So I want to talk about the three biggest mistakes that I see. I can call them misconceptions because mistakes are nothing but an opportunity to learn. You don't make mistakes on purpose usually. Usually it's in an attempt to accomplish something. So you can call them misconceptions where people just think this is the best way to get where I need to go with my horse's health. And I'm just going to talk about how some of those practices are standing in the way of your horse's recovery. And they might not be really working towards prevention either. So one of the biggest misconceptions, and this has been at play in the horse world for a really long time because it makes sense from a calorie in, calorie out perspective, and that is hay restriction. So there's a lot of horses that, you know, they put on a lot of weight. Like let's say they have about 300 pounds to lose. It makes sense from a calorie perspective to reduce intake, right? To get some of that weight off. And what I see often is, and this isn't just about metabolic syndrome, but if your horse doesn't have food in its digestive system the majority of the day, you are looking at other health problems or a risk of developing other health problems, especially things like ulcers. Ulcers are really the result of stress, the result of horses going hungry for too long. And so while you may get some weight off your horse by doing this, you also have to look at the impact on the rest of the body, including stress levels for them. So many people do this. They cut back on feeding times and quantity to encourage weight loss. It makes sense from that perspective. And there are some cases where they're just extreme. Like the horse has a ton of weight to lose. They're full of fluid from all the carbohydrates. They're not moving very much. Like something has to change. The first thing is movement, you know, making sure your horse is movement. That's one really great change that you can make. But sometimes in an attempt To do that, it means that they're standing for several hours a day without access to food. So I want to make it clear that just because you aren't restricting hay, that also doesn't mean you give them the opportunity to gorge on 60 pounds a day. The general amount of hay is anywhere between 1.5% and 3% of a horse's body weight, right? So if they're 1,000 pounds, that means they should be eating somewhere between 15 and 30 pounds a day. But that's just a guideline. You really have to look at your horse and make sure that they're not stressed. So if they're standing there pacing, waiting for food all the time, and then they finally get it, and they're hangry over it, and they're pushing everybody out of the way, including you, they're stressed, and it's not good for your horse's digestive system. So we have to find some ways to make sure that they're feeling more satisfied, that they know it's there if they need it, but they also are not standing at the hay bale or the round bale all the time. So, and this can happen. You can use diet and nutrition to do this, but often when, you know, let's say you're feeding maybe three times a day, like 8 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and 8 at night, how many hours are they standing without food in their stomach or their digestive system in the hindgut? So you really want to make note of that, because typically they should have food in their system all the time. That's how they're designed. It's how their digestive system is designed. Reason being, so infrequent feedings where your horse is hungry, they're just hungry all the time. And sometimes this is related to blood sugar. Sometimes it's more to do with the lack of nutrition they're getting if they're just on 100% hay diets. It's kind of like you not eating, just eating empty calories. You know, you're hungry all the time because you're just never getting the nutrition. Well, horses go through that same thing as well. This is why adding extra nutrition into their diet is almost essential for prevention and recovery from all health conditions. So if your horse is standing there and they're hungry a lot of the time, you're increasing stress. And whenever a horse is stressed, there is a physiological change in the body where digestion stops, immunity is suppressed. The whole body just kind of waits for that kind of fight flight, right? It's not a time to restore, repair, improve digestion. It's a time to everybody hold on. We might have to, you know, really conserve calories here if we're not going to be getting fed for a while. The other thing it does is it raises blood sugar. So whenever there's stress in the body, high cortisol levels happen. And you do not want high cortisol levels, especially if you have a horse with high ACTH or that's had a PPID diagnosis. Those hormones are very related. And when a horse is under stress, those hormones rise, and that's just the way it is. So from a management or stress management perspective, we want to be doing everything we can to keep your horse's stress levels to a minimum. And probably, you know, if you were to ask your horse what they care about most, food would be in the top three, you know, just making sure that they know they're going to be fed and they're not going to feel like they have to go hungry. The other issue that infrequent feedings cause, because horses are designed to be hay burners and grazers, is it has an adverse effect on their enzymes. And I just am seeing more and more horses that have such compromised digestion where they aren't breaking their food down properly. And if they're not breaking their food down properly, it means they're not absorbing the nutrition they need either. And the digestive enzymes that they have are a big part of that. And so it sends confusing signals to the body when it's standing there hungry and stressed, because the digestive system slows down, the enzymes aren't getting produced the way they should. It slows down the metabolic rate, so your horse's body are just waiting for cues from the environment. And so if food isn't coming, the body goes into conservation mode where it's saying, well, we better just hold on because we just don't know when the next meal's coming. And of course, your horse's thoughts are part of this, right? They're telling the body, and the body's telling the brain, like, you better just hold on here and don't burn too many calories. So from an insulin resistant perspective, especially, we want to make sure that we are making sure this metabolic rate is efficient. And to do that, it has to be fueled properly. And of course, I mentioned the weaker immune system. So anytime a horse is under stress and it doesn't have the fuel or the building blocks, the immune system struggles. And with a lot of these metabolic conditions, well, pretty much all of them, they really do have a big effect on the immune system, especially the PPID horses, because of the relationship between ACTH and cortisol levels. And when you have horses with chronically elevated cortisol, it is very much hindering the immune system. It really puts a lot of pressure on the immune system in addition to all the other things that are going on in the body. So we want to make sure that whatever we have control over, we are doing to reduce stress, improve digestion, make the metabolic rate more efficient, strengthen the immune system. And that's just all part of keeping your horses healthy and giving them longevity as well. Delayed healing. So that's part of the immune system as well. So you know, they're sounding their stress, they're not digesting properly. It just kind of snowballs from there. And these horses can get pretty stressed too. You can start seeing a lot of behavioral issues start creeping up, like horses cribbing and chewing on things, and they get bored and they just crave that jaw movement. So especially if you've got cribbers, it is extra important that they have food in front of them as much as possible. Then when you stop restricting food, so this is going to be different depending on the horses you have. So if you have a horse on a round bale and they are just not slowing down and you cannot, there's nothing that's going to pull that horse off the round bale. Those, in some cases, you just have to take them off the round bale, right? Like that horse for now just cannot have a free-for-all out there because they will just gorge and eat too much. Whereas some horses, if you put them on hay feeders, for example, they actually can self-regulate. And just in my experience, this is very general, about 2 weeks is sometimes how long it takes for them to go, okay, I have food in front of me all the time. And at first they're going to want to eat as much as possible. And then after a while, they figure it out and they calm down, right? The nervous system kind of calms down and goes, okay, I can relax and maybe I can have a nap and nobody's going to take my food away. So it's not necessarily about restricting food. It's just how can we slow them down? How can we make them move more, eat less? How can we help them regulate their blood sugar a little bit better so they're not getting those hunger pains all the time and they don't feel so voracious over their food? So as soon as you stop restricting food, it helps stabilize their blood sugar, which means satiety goes up and the hunger goes down. So this helps with healthier digestion, faster metabolism, better state of mind, you know, and yes, we're all focused on the laminitis and the insulin resistance and the PPID, but I want my horse to be calm. I want him to be relaxed. I want him to have a healthy relationship with food and nutrition. So I don't want any, you know, high anxiety, lots of tension, because I know it's just a matter of time before it starts affecting other areas of his health. And with all of that, inflammation. So at the end of the day, a really important marker for good health in horses is inflammation. So do they have inflammation in their body? Are they more stiff than they should be or more stiff than they used to be? More laminitic episodes? Are they just looking more tender-footed? So all of those states of inflammation are great markers to know if what you're doing is helping or it's hindering. And whenever you have a horse under stress, inflammation tends to go up. So however you can manage their food where they're not being restricted, but you're also not letting them gorge on way too much hay. So there's some situations where I will say you have to weigh your hay, because if you don't weigh your hay, they're just not able to self-regulate. And so you can start, if it's a 1,000-pound horse, start at 20 pounds a day, and you just have to make sure that you've come up with a plan so that they're eating frequently throughout the day, and you're supplementing with maybe some other things in their mash that are increasing satiety and making sure that they're just more satisfied throughout the day. And how you do that obviously is going to depend on your setup and what's possible for you to do. And I can tell you, with horses, they're so sensitive. The smallest changes can really make the biggest difference. So, you know, don't make it hard or overwhelming in your mind. Just start with one thing. And maybe that's just taking them for a walk once a day. You get your steps, they get their steps. That regulates blood sugar too. And sometimes it can help them feel more satisfied, less bored, they're moving their feet, which is good for those laminitis cases too. So just implementing one thing at a time, or can you add one extra feeding just before bed or in the middle of the day? Or can you have a family member throw an extra hay bag over the fence at some point. So it's just all those things. And or maybe you're feeding a lot in the morning and a lot in the evening. Like, how can we spread that out a little bit so that they can eat more consistently throughout that 24-hour period without standing long periods without food? So that is mistake or misconception number one. And that's still happening. You know, the first recommendation that a lot of people still get is cut the food, take the feedings out of there. And in my experience, I think it does more disservice to your goals for them than benefit. And so you really want to make sure that you're looking at your horse and listening to what they're telling you, especially if on top of these metabolic issues, they've got other digestive problems, fecal water, diarrhea, ulcers, right? Like, the first thing to do is just make sure that it's got food in their body at all time, or food in their digestive system. So the second mistake or misconception is feeding commercial grain. So a lot of people are aware of this now. I think, you know, more and more people are realizing, you know, that sometimes commercial grains aren't the best thing, especially for these metabolic laminitic horses. There's a lot of commercial grains out there that are being marketed for metabolic horses as well. And I can tell you that they don't work barely ever. One of the reasons is mostly just the sheer number of ingredients in them. They're not all conducive to wellness. It doesn't take your horse's individual sensitivities and tolerances into account either. And you also have to look at empty calories, you know, like, what are they getting out of this? Is what in this commercial feed, is it contributing to better health for my horse? Like, look at the ingredient list and ask yourself that question. Whereas if you kind of take back the control and you say, okay, well, instead of feeding, you know, 75 things at once, I'm just going to pick out some healthy things from a food point of view, put 4 things in their program, add some extra plant-based nutrition, and just keep it simple and easy for your horse to digest. There's just a lot of marketing that goes on out there, whether it's saying it's beneficial for digestion or insulin resistance. It really comes down to your horse. And I know I read hundreds of ingredient lists a year. A lot of them are just the same, right? They're just same different orders of things. Maybe they replace one grain for another in a few different ways, but for the most part, they are all very created equally. And what happens too when you see commercial grains for metabolic horses, typically they're lower in sugar, because we all know that metabolic horses and sugar don't get along very well. But when that happens, they also have to replace them from calories from other places. So where are those calories coming from? It's often fat or protein. So from a holistic wellness point of view, I want to make sure that I'm not getting too excessive with any of that. I want to make sure that the horse's digestive system is able to work. It's able to breathe. The liver is able to process everything you're giving them. They're able to extract nutrition out of everything that's going in their mouth. That is a big part of the approach if you're going to take a holistic approach to insulin resistance, PPID, and PSSM. Now, the result of feeding too many commercial grains for too long is that they essentially add to the toxic load. I wish that wasn't the case. I wish it was easier to feed our horses. But if you look at the ingredient list, it's not, you know, you're not going to make a horse sick. Well, sometimes you can make a horse sick in a day. I shouldn't say that. But for the most part, you know, if your horse has been on a commercial feed for a long time, there's a lot of horse owners probably listening to this going, yeah, but I've had my horse on commercial feeds for a long time and he's doing okay. But it's accumulated. And we forget about that. Like, how long can you eat certain junk foods every day of your life before your body goes, that's enough, I can't take it anymore? I think we all know what that limit is for ourselves, and it's no different for our horses too. So I'm always trying to reduce the accumulation of toxicity in every horse that I work with, whether that's in their past or something they're doing presently, and definitely when we're going forward and formulating programs for them. That's a big part of it, because toxicity is one of the biggest underlying causes of equine disease.
If you have a horse with insulin resistance, PPID, or PSSM, make sure to take in my free masterclass, Resolving Equine Metabolic Syndrome Naturally. You can sign up at www.alishaedwards.com/masterclass. That's Elisha Edwards.com/masterclass. Inside, you're going to learn the top three most common mistakes that can stand in the way of your horse's recovery from insulin resistance, PPID, and PSSM, and you're going to learn my four-step guide for prevention and recovery from all three conditions taking a holistic approach. This has been tried and tested on thousands of horses with great results. To sign up, www.aliciaedwards.com/masterclass, and you'll also find the link in the show notes. The other thing too is if you feed too many commercial grains, and whether or not they're for metabolic horses or not, you know, some of these commercial grains are absolutely high in sugar. So the NSCs are way higher than what we want them. And so when you start getting the over-fermentation of starches and sugars in the hindgut, that's what contributes to leaky gut or cecal acidosis, which means the pH in the hindgut drops. Then you start breeding, you know, unhealthy populations of bacteria. You end up with more acidity back there. And then it starts to kind of do, you know, slow damage to that intestinal lining. And eventually you have a very toxic situation on your hands in general. These horses will typically have immune problems, skin problems, they'll break out in hives. You'll see more stiffness in their joints, more inflammation in their feet. And so I see leaky gut all the time. Diagnosed or not, there's no really clear diagnosis for it, but you can kind of tell by the health profile. So one of the biggest things you can do to prevent that is just to stay away from all the commercial grains. The other thing is a lot of the commercial grains are fortified with nutrients. The more processed something is, the less nutritional value it has. And so in an attempt to correct that for the horses, we fortify those commercial grains with extra nutrients. And the problem with that is they're not getting all of them. You know, then we have competition between nutrients happening. We might have a compromised digestive system where they're not able to break down much at all. Never mind, you know, 50 different ingredients in a commercial feed. And also all the forms are not created equal. So there's certain forms of those minerals and vitamins that are not as bioavailable, which means your horse doesn't have as much access to them as nutrients. They don't absorb the same. And so we have to ask our questions, like if we've got an unwell horse and we have a diagnosis, especially, you don't need a diagnosis, by the way, you just can tell by the health profile. That's part of, you know, practicing prevention. So if you've got a horse that, you know, blows up on a mouthful of grass, has a crusty neck, has a history of laminitis, or it might be getting there, then you could just want to do everything you can to eliminate the question marks. So there's no question that, you know, what's going into your horse's mouth is contributing to better health. And part of that is just staying away from the commercial grains and all the ingredients that they might not be absorbing or that they don't need at all. So a cleaner feed program creates a healthier horse. That means less inflammation in the body, means a healthier digestive system, it means more efficient metabolism, and it also means more nutrition. So we get kind of laser focused on some of these things, especially if your horse is sore, foot sore, and has been every spring for the last few years. But this also contributes to general health, period, right? Like improving the weepy eyes, improving the health of the hair coat, making sure their hooves are stronger than they used to be. You know, if they've got a lot of cracking and chipping, for example, like, can we fix that just with better nutrition? So we want our horses always to have higher quality nutrition. And the last mistake or misconception that I see a lot of, and I'm starting to speak out about this more and more and more, just because I am seeing such a strong correlation between the approach taken for a lot of these metabolic horses and what's actually working. And that mistake is relying on balanced minerals alone to meet nutritional requirements. And I'm talking about this a lot. I've talked about it in many previous episodes, but I'm bringing it up again here just as a reminder to you that don't just think because you balanced your minerals to the forage that your horse is on, that their personal individual requirements are being met and that it's that they have enough to maintain a healthy metabolism and a healthy digestive system and to regulate their hormones and all of the things that we care about, especially when it comes to insulin resistance, PPID, PSSM, laminitis, all of it. So nutrient deficiencies are really common in horses because they never get what they need out of their hay. I think we're all should be in agreement with that.
hay is dead, it's not live forage, and with a lot of these metabolic issues, you know, these horses can't be on pasture, they can't be on grass, so they don't ever get the opportunity to forage for live nutrition. And that sort of shoots us in the foot a little bit, you know, because we can't put them on grass, yet they're not getting the nutrition out of their hay. So we have to make up the deficit there. So it is important to provide more than just what's in their hay. And also balanced nutrition is important. So it's not that, you know, you're not getting anywhere with balancing, you know, their nutrition to their forage. It's just might not be enough is what I'm saying. So if it's not working and you're already doing this, then you have to look further. You have to go beyond what you're already doing. And the other thing too, which, you know, feeds back into misconception or mistake number two, is watch the ingredient lists on what you're doing as for a forage balancer. Make sure that those ingredients are as clean as you can get them and there's not a lot of sources of toxicity in there. So one of the issues with those multis is that there's way too many nutrients in the same formula. They absolutely compete for absorption too. And we know this for humans. This is talked about out there in the human health industry all the time, that multis, do they work, do they not? And there's a big camp out there that says, forget the multis, there's just too much. And then when you have that many ingredients in a teaspoon, let's say, you are going to be limited to how much of each thing you can put in there, right? There's only so much that fits in a teaspoon. And so if your horse is looking for a very specific mineral that really is contributing to a sluggish thyroid, for example, then how are you ever going to fix that, right? There's just not, the dosage is not high enough in that multi for that mineral. So I'm always teaching people, okay, like how can we identify which nutrients your horse is going to benefit from the most? And there are certain profiles that go with those minerals. So complete feeds and mineral mixes do not have enough to correct specific deficiencies. And I would say, and I know this because once we kind of figure out what that horse is needing just based on their profile, we say, okay, let's just give this multi a break for a minute and let's get real specific about the minerals and nutrients we're going to use. The transformation, sometimes you can't deny it, right? Like I can see that that horse is now getting the nutrition the body has been asking for. They're able to absorb it. They're utilizing it and things can start improving pretty quick. So just keep that in mind. If you're looking at your situation and you're thinking, I'm doing all the things, you know, I'm watching the grass. I've got my hay analysis. He's eating. He's not hungry. The stress is low. You're doing, you know, all the mineral balancing to the forage and still there's just something not right. This is just a good place to start exploring and start looking and maybe just considering what else can I do above and beyond what I'm doing that might really make the difference. And of course, as I mentioned with a lot of these multis, you got to watch the other ingredients that can have a negative impact. And it might not be that it's bad. It's just, it's not going to work for that horse. That horse just might have an intolerance or an allergy, or, you know, there's just so much toxicity in that hindgut that that immune system is just on high alert. And so every time you put something in there, it doesn't like there's inflammation or the immune system, the digestive or intestinal immune system has a negative response to it. Why we care about this is because those nutrients, all the vitamins, all the minerals are essential for healthy digestion, metabolism, and immunity. And they're never absorbed in the amount that they need, depending on your horse's profile, their history, their ability to digest and absorb, and also the forms that they're getting, like what are they getting from their supplements. All of those factors really play a role in how well your horse's body, organs, and body systems can function. And for most horses, I have to say, the individual requirements are just never met. And that is just one of the biggest challenges we all have raising horses in a domestic world. So it really falls on us to provide the things that are most naturally or provide the things that they're going to respond to the best. And whenever I'm looking for an answer to that, I just look at how they're designed and what they would choose to do if humans weren't involved. Well, what they would choose to do usually is if you open the gate, they would just start moving. They would walk, they would move, they would keep moving with their herd, which means they're eating less, getting more nutrition from what they are eating. And of course, the more they move, the more calories they burn, the healthier they are overall. So just to finish off today then, Mistake or misconception number one, watch your food restriction. Mistake number two, watch your ingredient lists. Eliminate the commercial feeds, even if just for a short time, to convince yourself, like, just humor me, just convince yourself that it really does make a difference what you're putting into their body. And mistake number three, don't think just because you're doing a multi that's balanced to their hay or their forage, that that's going to be enough to sustain healthy digestion, healthy hormones, and healthy metabolism. And that's really the name of the game when we're trying to find good, solid solutions for our prevention and recovery from all the metabolic conditions, including insulin resistance, PPID, and PSSM. So if you've already taken my Resolving Equine Metabolic Syndrome Naturally course, which is a paid course, I would encourage you to jump back in there, get your horse started on a program before the grass starts coming up. It's just a great time to kind of start getting your horse's digestion working for them, their metabolism working for them. If you have not yet registered for that course, it's $197. I'm going to put the direct link to register in the show notes of this episode. So if you just want to get in there, register today, I walk you through. It's not a lot of video time. I'm not going to put a lot of unnecessary information in there, but I do walk you through the process of getting your horses started on a really good, solid program for prevention and recovery. So thanks as always for tuning in today. Don't forget to share the episode. Give me a review. Give me a 5-star rating. It all helps me reach more people. It also helps me know which topics you love the most. We'll see you next week.